Our sermon today is based on a reading from Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Now, when the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes, the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. Then the fire of the Lord burned against them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. But the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire abated. So that place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned against them. The rabble among them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there's nothing at all but this manna to look at." Thank you, God, for feeding our souls with your word. Well, this is something I don't do too often. Last week, the sermon was based on a reading from the book of Numbers, and today's sermon is too. Now, I'll blame it on those eating irritated Israelites. Last week, we said, "Ah, nuts," as God showed them once and for all whom God had chosen as the leader of the people. Out of the dozen rods presented before the ark and the tabernacle, only Aaron's rod blossomed, sprouting sprigs and buds and even actual almonds. Case closed. The incident described in today's scripture actually happened before the throwdown with the rods, another moment when Israel carped and cried and whined and wailed, and God had to set them straight. It centered around food, too, specifically manna. Manna, as we heard in the elder scripture reading, was the mysterious substance that fell from the sky every day. In fact, the word manna means, "What is it?" The people would gather just as much manna as they needed every day for every member of their family. Those who needed more gathered more. Those who needed less gathered less. That was fair. The strictest stipulation about the manna was that they weren't allowed to save it for later. If they did, it would quickly rot and become inedible. Of course, some people just had to test the waters for themselves, and they learned right away that what God had said, God meant. As they began their desert wandering, God provided this blessing of manna, heavenly food for them. But soon enough, they got tired of it and started complaining. They listed and lamented and longed for the food they had enjoyed while they were in captivity in Egypt. Fish, melons, leeks, garlic, onions, and cucumbers. What an odd vegetable to long for. Actually, cucumbers are really fruit. Here are some interesting facts about cucumbers. The sermon title is "Cool as a Cucumber," a phrase we're all well used to hearing. But just what does it mean? Just how cool is a cucumber? Physicians in the 17th century would prescribe a patient with fever to lie down on a bed of cucumbers, believing that this treatment would cool the blood. There may be some merit in that because cucumbers are 95% water. Now, I've never done it myself. I don't want to be wasting any food. But some people put slices of cucumber on their eyes to soothe them and reduce swelling. In the United States, cucumbers are mostly grown in just two states, Florida and Michigan. The record for the heaviest cucumber ever grown is 23 pounds and 7 ounces. That's a big cucumber. And cucumbers, of course, are often made into pickles. The people of Israel certainly found themselves in a pickle. They were tired. They were hungry. They started to complain, to murmur. This mini insurrection seems to have been led by some people called the rabble or the riffraff. These were people who apparently were not Israelites, but they had joined their ranks as they escaped from Egypt and were traveling with them. Perhaps they were Egyptians who wanted to leave their country, or maybe they were friends with some of the Israelites, maybe even married to some of them. Perhaps they too had been enslaved and were eager to find freedom along with the Israelites. They were the ones who started the murmuring, little ripples of resentment that began small, just among one or two people, then spread among the whole camp like wildfire until everyone was grumbling aloud. They began to reminisce about the good old days when they had a variety of food to eat. It's interesting to note that they didn't seem to remember just how badly they had it under the Egyptians. They forgot their hard work, their forced labor, and they focused on the food they ate, food they said they got for free. But it wasn't free. They paid for it with their blood, sweat, toil, and tears. It was not given to them out of love and care. It was mostly doled out to them grudgingly, their enslavers giving them just enough to keep them going, but not really caring if they were well nourished or not. Quite unlike the manna God sent them. That indeed they ate freely. God gave it to them abundantly each and every day, except on the Sabbath, and they ate it in freedom. The manner in which they described the manna was appalling. There's nothing out here but manna. They wanted something more solid, something they could sink their teeth into. Instead of being grateful, they grumbled. Instead of concentrating on just how miraculous and versatile manna was, they disrespected it. And in so doing, they disrespected God. They became fixated on the past, embellishing it and distorting it, remembering it as not all that bad because, hey, they got cucumbers and lots of other good stuff. What angered God most was that very fixation on the past. Instead of being forward-focused, looking to the future God had planned for them, they actually caused cool as a cucumber Moses to lose his cool. He was so fed up with them being fed up with manna and screaming at him that he said to God, "Why have you treated your servants so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give birth to them that you should say to them, carry them and say to me, carry them in your bosom as a wet nurse carries a nursing child to the land that you promised on oath to give to their ancestors? Where am I to get meat for all this people? For they come weeping to me saying, give us meat to eat. I am not able to carry all this people alone for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you're going to treat me, put me to death at once. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery." God then told Moses to gather 70 elders to help him bear this burden. God wasn't about to give up on Moses. The problem with the Israelites was that they wanted what they wanted when they wanted it. They wanted what they wanted without working for it or waiting for it. They wanted to sit back and enjoy the blessings of freedom. They wanted to sit back cool as a cucumber and let everything come to them without any worries. But God had not rescued them so they could just sit back and relax and take, take, take. God had brought them out of Egypt for a reason, for a purpose. God was going to take them into the promised land where they would live as God's people under God's rule. They were to be God's shining example of how faith in God and obedience to God worked. They were to be God's partners in the promise. God had made a covenant with them to protect and lead and guide them. And God expected them to hold up their end of the bargain by being faithful, by being obedient, by being grateful for all God had done for them and was doing for them and would do for them. God didn't want them wallowing in pity and wailing for a past they glorified, even though it was in reality miserable. God didn't want them crying about the cucumbers. God had a plan and a place for them. All God asked of them was to wait and be ready for the blessings God wanted to give them. But instead of thinking about all that was to come, they kept griping about all the things they didn't have. That kept them from looking forward, from seeing all the goodness from God right before their eyes. All they could see was what they lacked, when in reality, they had everything they needed. Our church has been invited to participate in an initiative with Lexington Theological Seminary and Disciples Home Missions called Thriving Congregations. This 18-month project will serve as a way for us to find and focus on our particular call and mission from God to carry out right here in Rio Doce. And one of the things the project does is to teach participants to emphasize not what they don't have, but what they do have. Sometimes it's hard to see the blessings right in front of us because they can be small, small as the coriander seed to which manna is compared, and easy to overlook. But the blessings of God are all around us. We will be asked and encouraged to find them, to gather them up like manna and use them to feed not only ourselves but others around us. We will learn how not to focus on what we don't have. The cucumbers and leeks and onions can be things like children and youth and money and whatever else we think makes a church, the things we don't have yet. We're on the verge of a marvelous, miraculous journey, just like the Israelites were. God will feed us and lead us, so let us turn our eyes to the future. Another trait of a thriving congregation is that it is forward-thinking, acknowledging and celebrating their past, yet also turning their eyes to the future with confidence that God will make it a good one. So let us open our hands to gather in the manna of God's love and blessings, and let us learn how to share it with our community. Let us not get distracted or hopelessly bogged down in the mire of worry or a listless longing for the past. Let's follow where God is leading us today. And you know God ain't gonna take us somewhere that isn't good. Let's all remain cool as cucumbers and trust God to show us exactly what we need to know and exactly what we need to do. Remember, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Just because we don't have something right now doesn't mean God won't gift it to us later. That's a promise from God that is solid as any cucumber, and God won't put us in a pickle either. God was trying to teach the Israelites to depend solely on God to provide everything they needed. It's not such a bad lesson. Let's learn it too, and let's see how God causes us to thrive. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the way you provide for us. And as we strive to thrive, be at our side. Be our sure guide on the road to realizing how much you love us and want the best for us. Amen.